This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2153. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world. On this edition, recorded August 25th, Afghanistan, Alaska, Algeria, Antarctica, Australia, Bangladesh, Brazil, Cuba, France, Greece, Guam, India, Indonesia, Iran, Korea South, Monaco, Myanmar, New Zealand, Nigeria, Peru, Russia, Sao Tome, Spain, Thailand, Turkey, UAE, USA, Vanuatu, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, Ivo Ivanov, observer in Bulgaria, says this is the current schedule of the clandestine Radio Afghanistan International. It's on the air 24 hours in Pashto via two different transmitter sites on almost the same frequencies, from 01 to 15 UT via Tashkent, Uzbekistan, varying around 7599.9, 100 kilowatts at 236 degrees, while the rest of the day between 15 and 01, it's on 7600 more precisely from Armenia, also 100 kilowatts, but 100 degrees from there. This is really too late already, but unless you're already in the vicinity of Gakona, Alaska, and hearing me on Thursday or Friday, the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program, HARP, is hosting an open house at the facility in Gakona, Alaska, on Saturday, August 27th, first publicized a week before in the ARRL newsletter via Mike Terry. More info at their website, harp.gi.alaska.edu. Tests from Algeria continue to show up at unpredictable times. August 25th at 0642, I had it on 9450 with Middle Eastern music, not Quran, but too close to WRMI. It's another new frequency from the Beshar site, according to Ivo Ivanov. It was not parallel to the France relay on 9620. He says 9450 switched to 17600 around 0801. Those signals to be heard on Wednesday or Saturday this week from LRA 36 Antarctica, which I always check if possible, around 15 UT on 15475.98 reduced carrier USB. I tune via remotes in Argentina, but nothing to be heard on August 20th or 24th. We can only hope they will be back before long on one or both of those schedules. Upon Osceola-Mar State Beach, California, Ron Howard says, August 21st was an excellent day for low-power Australian reception. On 4835, shortwave Australia heard from 1318 to 1342 with nonstop easy listening music with IDs every 10 minutes, but they were unreadable. And on 5045, Bay Islands Radio or Island FM between 1235 and 1315, about his best ever reception, he says, with nonstop rock songs and no announcements. Besides the English broadcast at 1745 from Bangladesh Betar, on 4750 that I mentioned last week. There's another one at 1230 until 1300. Ivo Ivanov recorded this opening on August 19th. As early as 1222, there was a 1 kilohertz tone and then the interval signal on 4750.
Hello, dear listeners. This is the channel service of Bangladesh Betar, broadcasting on shortwave 63.16 meter band, corresponding to 4750 kilohertz for the listeners of South and Southeast Asia.
As heard by a remote receiver in Thailand, it seems that whenever RNA Brazil, the Amazon service on 11780, is very strong, it's liable to put out distorted spur blobs above and below that frequency, 11780. It was 20 to 30 over 9. August 24th at 0125, the extremely distorted spur blobs were peaking around 11719 and 11842, but they were 15 to 20 kilohertz wide. Just a hash in the AM mode, but when tuned in the FM mode, Portuguese talk was almost recognizable. Cuban jammers against Radio Martí often are left on the air long after Martí is finished for the day, but sometimes there's something even more interesting, which I assume also comes from Cuba. August 20th at 21:25 on 13605, I was hearing just barely audible strings of weak beeps or tones at slightly different pitches, which were audible with the BFO, as if different jamming operators were playing around communicating with each other this way. Radio France International in French to Africa is on 17850 between 17 and 20 UT. That's uncomfortably close to the big signal from Spain on 17855, which starts at 1800. Furthermore, on August 24th at 1747, I tuned in before Spain came on, the French signal was being overlaid by some chirping sounds, as if it were interference, but I think it's coming from the same transmitter in Issoudun, France, centered about 17850.2. This kept going at 2 to 4 times per second. Extremely annoying, but it did not actually interrupt the program modulation, but it made it impossible to listen to. I suspect it was going on for the entire 3-hour transmission, which makes 5-degree beam shifts at every hour break for no perceptible reason. During that 1-minute break off the air, the chirps are also off. Hey, is no one paying attention to their own broadcast at Issoudun, TDF, RFI, or MBR? Richard Langley recorded and has now archived the final 2 hours of Voice of Greece on shortwave, June 15th on 9420. And Christos Rigas in Chicago, who speaks Greek, listened to the content. He says after the news at 16 UT, the program Good Seas was played, interviewing a retired ship captain who recounted during his 30 years as a sailor, the broadcasts of VOG kept him company at sea. The only mentions of Voice of Greece during the program, no mentions that that would be the last broadcast on shortwave. And Christos says, as for VOG returning to shortwave, as long as the New Democratic Party is in power, this will probably not happen. The same party that tried to dismantle ERT back in 2012, a decision that was overturned when they lost the elections in 2015. He says, I am afraid that by the time they lose the elections, if they do, the facilities at Avlida will be dismantled. Takahito Akabayashi in Japan says the Japanese service called Friendship Radio of KTWR Guam has been off the air since July 10th due to trouble with their transmitter number 7, which has not been repaired. So during September, on Sundays only, the transmission is being moved to Tashkent, Uzbekistan on the same frequency and time, that is Sundays at 12:15 to 12:45 on 9380. This led to a discussion about KTWR transmitters number 7, not at the same time. They only had 3 and now apparently only 2 in operable condition on Guam. By the way, KTWR has had some transmissions in DRM, I guess not this one, which led to a very interesting discussion in our group about the drawbacks of DRM. Wolfgang Visual observes that since All India Radio no longer participates in HFCC, it carelessly conflicts with other broadcasters such as Saudi Arabia on 15285. As noted August 21st at 0529, Bengaluru, 4 Hz above 15285 in the Pashto service from 0430 to 06, but at the same time from Riyadh, Saudi Arabia's Swahili service, 18 Hz above 15285. And another problem from All India Radio Bengaluru, 4 Hz above 15030, the Arabic service at 0523 with distorted audio. He says, perhaps a very bad audio feed line from Delhi to Bangalore. The current schedule of All India Radio shows something strange on 594 kHz called the Moitre Channel, M-O-I-T-R-E-E, at midnight 30 to 1830 UT with a 1-hour break at 09. What is this, I wonder? It must be on the megawatt transmitter at Chinsura near Kolkata. Alokesh Gupta explains, Maitri is a Bengali word meaning friendship. The channel is a unique venture of All India Radio aimed at strengthening ties between India and Bangladesh. Its uniqueness lies in sharing content between Bangladesh Betar and Akashvani Maitri. It can also be spelled M-A-I-T-R-E-E. He says it aims to strengthen cultural, economic, political, and emotional bonding between the two neighbors in the Bengali language. Ron Howard in California says the Voice of Indonesia has been silent through August 22nd. Very sad to find them absent from 3325 on their Independence Day, August 17th. In the absence of WTWW from 5830, I heard something else on frequency, or rather off the frequency, August 21st at midnight 51, via the remote in Maryland, JBA signal. Not in English, and certainly not WTWW, measured on 5829.929. That would be Iran International TV, the UK-based clandestine, via Uzbekistan, which has a well-known track record of off-frequenciness. It's scheduled 24 hours, but it seems the changeover times between the two frequencies varies. Currently, says Ivo Ivanov, it's at 0330 to 1530 on 15629.8 variable, and from 1530 to 0330 on 5829.9 variable. By the way, it's the sibling station of Radio Afghanistan International I mentioned at the beginning. From Japan, about North Korean abductions, Shokaze or Seabreeze. Ron Howard says August 25th was the first day for a frequency change for the 13 to 14 UT broadcast. 5935, bot blocking reception from Tibet, while parallel 6070 was fairly good. He says there really is no need now for periodic changes of frequencies, as North Korea stopped jamming Shokaze a while ago, perhaps in mid-May. Meanwhile, this means that Voice of Freedom Korea on 5920 is now in the clear. As for the other clandestines from South to North Korea, Ron Howard says for the week of August 22nd to 28th, VOH is on 3985, 4880, 5995, 6245, 6350, and 9095, with weekday English language lesson at 1122, while the other one, VOP, Voice of People, has not changed since the week before. By the way, the English lessons from Echo of Hope are VOH on weekdays at 1125 to 1155 UT, have been based on readings of Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. Last week I filed under F for France, but this week under M for Monaco Non, about the reactivated long-wave 216 kHz of Radio Monte Carlo. Christian Guibault in the British DX Club says there's a lot of talk about Rumul, the transmitter site in France. More broadcasts on 216 on August 21st, and local television report indicated that the towers are going to be destroyed. No explanation of why they're currently being transmitted, but it may have something to do with a couple of people who were arrested for climbing the towers to discourage any such further activity. On August 20th, Ron Howard notes Myanmar on 5915 until off at 14 UT. He says after many years of having China blocking them, it's wonderful to hear Myanmar with no interference. In the British DS Club, John Hode points out that Radio New Zealand Pacific has a new schedule on their website, effective September 1st, showing DRM transmissions at the same time as AM transmissions, which must mean they're using two transmitters at once again. DRM is daily except Saturdays, 1651 to 1755, 6135 DRM, and 7425 AM, 1756 to 1955, 9655 DRM, and 9700 AM, and 1956 to 2058, 11690 DRM, and 11725 AM. The media magazine you monitor with your mind, World of Radio, 2153. Non-commercial service, like our website, worldofradio.com. Financial support, always appreciated. By money order or check on a U.S. bank, to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID, OK, 73702. Or by PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO at yahoo.com. We've heard that Voice of Nigeria was gone for good from shortwave, as it had not been heard since sometime in May or June, I think. But August 20th at 0626, I heard it again. I've been checking every night after 06 on 7255, so I'm sure that's the first date it was back on the air. Always off frequency, 7254.936. In Hausa during that hour. But as before, it's rather sporadic. You can never be certain it'll be on the air or if it will stay on the air once it starts. And August 21st at 0647, it was obviously on, but broadcasting dead air. Their evening frequency is supposed to be 11770 between 15 and 21, including English at 1630 to 1900, but not heard there. Instead, 7255 was again in use in the evening, as heard by Jorge Freitas in Brazil, August 24th, from 1845. That was first reported on August 23rd by Joe Inott in southwestern Pennsylvania to Hardcore DX. English in progress at 1738, but off at 1808. Manuel Mendez in Spain was also hearing this, and I was listening via the remote in the Canary Islands, where it had a not very good signal and lots of storm noise. There was news in English about Nigeria at 1800, with a YL announcer I could understand better than the others later. Too much noise, actually, to get much out of it, but the director general of NBC plugged the various platforms of VON at 1830. I'm not sure if he included shortwave. Anyhow, it chopped off the air abruptly at 1846. Since Radio Rebel de Cuba was missing from 5025 August 20th until it came on at 1106, Ron Howard in California was pleased to be getting presumed Radio Quijabamba in Peru on 5025 from 1031. It was weak, with a non-stop announcer and a few sound bites. He says, the first time I've heard this one. Via Rusty X, the Russian pirate, Radio Pyatchi Uglov, or Pentagon, says in Telegram that they'll no longer be using 3940, nor their allied station Bukhti Svobodnykh Volnya. That's because a European broadcaster has been on 3940 since August 1st. Instead, they say they'll be down around 3 megahertz, but no frequency exactly known yet, and continuing on medium wave 1575. Via Rusty X, we have more reports, rather confusing, about the continuing litigation concerning Radio Free Europe Radio Liberty declaring bankruptcy in Russia. Wojtek Zarima in Poland reports a new frequency for the strange transmission known as Squeaky Wheel 4612 USB, August 23rd at 2048. But on August 24th, they were back to their regular nighttime frequency, 3364. The Eichert-Bierbruch list shows two other frequencies for it, 3828 and 5473, with the location Rostov-on-Don in Russia. Zaharias Lyangas in Greece says the Russia-Ukraine radio war is still going on, observed August 19th at 1826 on 7050, playing a Russian song mixed with other operators, and also on 7055 with some contacts. For some time, the 600-kilowatt USA GM relay on São Tomé, 1530 kilohertz, has been operating non-directionally. But now, Ben Dawson, consulting engineer, says some final testing is being performed, but it is returned to directional operation, and sends a pattern plot, which I attempt to describe verbally. The major lobes are at 115 and 330 degrees, but there's broad coverage from northwest clockwise to southeast. The nulls are about 175 and 260 degrees, and there's a minor lobe off the back at 220. If they can get past WCKY, medium wave DXers in North America manage to pick this up best around sign on or sign off 03 and 22 UT with the Yankee Doodle. Spain's North American frequency, 17855, had been missing since at least August 17th, but was back by the 22nd, including token English, at 22 UT Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. In the NASFA flash sheet, Ralphus W. Perry in Illinois says the voice of Thailand can provide a wonderful signal for the 12 to 1230 UT English broadcast on 9390, as heard August 15th and 16th. It has news in English, commercials, and financial news. Voice of Turkey continues to be unpredictable on 9830 for English at 2200. Sometimes it's missing, sometimes it comes on late, and sometimes it stays on late with an extra half hour of German at 23 UT, which happened on August 24th. There's a new station in the UAE on 1476 kHz. Frank Bast reports to British DX Club it started test broadcasting August 17th. John Hode says it's Radio Keralam, K-E-R-A-L-A-M, with a good signal in the Canary Islands, ID in English at 2008. Greg Harrison in California was also hearing this, August 25th at 17:00 to 17:30 via a remote in Russia. Kai Ludwig has already published an article about this in German. From 2019 to 2020, a program for migrants from Kerala was broadcast in the UAE on medium wave 1476. After a break of 2.5 years, there is now a new edition, Radio Kerala 1476. The idea is to reach the entire Gulf region on medium wave. The number of Malayalam-speaking migrants from southwest Indian Kerala state living there is estimated at 2.5 million. Many profess Islam, now under massive pressure in India. With its 200 kilowatts, one of the only two major transmitters worldwide on 1476, the other being TWR Benin, West Africa. Bill Harrison forwards an article from National Public Radio, which you might find of interest. It's dated August 19th at www.npr.org, headlined, "Trump's VOA Chief Paid Extravagantly to Investigate Critics, Says Watchdog." World's Last Chance via WBCQ 9330 is sometimes missing, and when on it may be off frequency August 20th at 2210, I measured it 122 hertz high above 9330. Although WTWW2 continues with rock music and ham radio shows, it seems that WTWW number 1 has been missing lately when checked, not heard in the evening on 5830 and not even Sunday morning on 9475, August 21st. Ben Cobb of experimentalradio.news says about the WINB unknown signal on the lower half of its DRM, "I was interested to hear a reference to WINB on the latest World of Radio. The mysterious data emissions were the subject of considerable discussion at this year's NASB conference in Washington. I don't know if anyone has publicly disclosed the content of this non-broadcast data, but the apparent connection between WINB and Parable Broadcasting is notable. Parable is one of the companies waiting for an FCC construction permit to build an international broadcast station. The principals of Parable hold executive positions at URSA Navigation, URSA-NAV, a Loran company in Massachusetts, and at Tagence, T-A-G-E-N-C-E, an IT firm in Virginia. While its shortwave station would be in Illinois, Parable is based in Virginia. URSA Nav was the co-applicant with Parable for a local permit to build a purported international Christian radio station in Kane County, Illinois. URSA Nav is licensed for microwave station WRAL-663 at WINB's site in Red Lion, Pennsylvania. Independent consulting engineer Alex Pilosoff raised questions about WINB and Parable in an FCC filing. Excerpts. In 2018, WINB applied and received authority to broadcast DRM content, specifying 10 kHz emission bandwidth and emission code of what means a single 10 kHz data channel. WINB did not disclose any transmission of private data in its application for DRM data casting. In fact, WINB is transmitting standard DRM signals in the upper 5 kHz of its assigned spectrum and non-DRM digital data in the lower 5. Such transmissions are not permissible per FCC Rule Section 73.758, nor are they part of the DRM specification. Furthermore, WINB itself confirmed that the lower 5 kHz is, in fact, a data stream. Pilosoff wrote, "It can be reasonably inferred to be experimentation of shortwave data transmission engineered by URSA Nav in order to be used by Parable." None of the URSA Nav and Parable principals have backgrounds in religious broadcasting or any broadcasting. As far as I could determine, Parable has no real evangelistic mission but will function as a private data link to overseas financial centers, end quote of Pilosoff. And thanks to Ben Cobb for that. Radio Vanuatu's third harmonic, 11835, still not being heard as of August 24th after 0600, but keep checking. Dan Robinson says, "First reports are disappointing about the Eton Elite satellite. As reported in comments at swling.com, it appears Eton will have to go back to the drawing board on the long-awaited Eton Elite satellite, which started shipping out recently." Here are some comments from swling.com. Universal Radio says, "Our initial allocation of radios arrived on August 17th. Our quality control testing detected a problem with radio. We're working closely with Eton to find a solution. We will begin shipping radios as soon as we are satisfied the radio fully meets specifications." SWBuilding.com says, "This is indeed disappointing. for those of us on the original list to purchase the successor to the well-known E1, still in use by many around the world. As I scribbled in a commentary some weeks ago, Eaton faced a high bar, expectations of a very educated listening community that in recent years had grown to appreciate receivers by TechSun and other manufacturers, with features such as recalibration and multiple bandwidths in AM and SSB modes. Unfortunately, Eaton seems to have not done everything it should have to ensure QC. Now they have a PR black mark and potentially could face return of hundreds of radios. If the problems described by first users, such as lockup when the radio is in HD mode, loose telescopic antenna, are to be corrected, they will have to be corrected at the factory, and Eaton has some work to do. Joe Hannon in New Jersey replies, "Yes, Eaton's issues with this huge receiver are concerning. Is it worth spending all this money on a radio whose size may remind many longtime SWLs of the Panasonic R9000 from the 1980s? It's unfortunate they may take a financial hit on this receiver with the flaws that have developed from these production runs." And Rodney Johnson replies, "It's also not selling for over a kilodollar, nor is it being test marketed in China, where the horror stories never quite make it past the border." Les Rayburn in Alabama tells WTFTA about his meteor scatter on the ground antenna, which he's calling an MOG. "I've been experimenting with a new approach to meteor scatter DXing. I mounted an FM6 six-element Yuda Yagi antenna on the ground, pointing straight up. There are numerous goals, such as reducing the noise floor in my suburban neighborhood, since it's pointing towards the cold sky and away from man-made noise sources horizontally. It's been successful in this regard with a lower noise floor. Also to encourage reception of near-vertical incident skywave, overcoming local terrain, filling in stations from Atlanta and Nashville, and also to increase success on meteor scatter in general, which has had only modest results with the same antenna mounted horizontally." Then he reports on the MS pings he's been getting and trying to identify when tuned to 94.7. Ken McHarg sent us a story from the blog at WordPress, Revisiting Radio History, dated August 20th, entitled A Timeline of Car Radio History, provoking a reply from Dr. Donna L. Halper at Lesley University. She says, "This is more a history of corporate car radios. I was on the History Channel in 2001 discussing the forgotten history of car radios. The 1920s were a very exciting time, and shortwave was definitely part of the equation, not mentioned in that article. But folks were not waiting for corporations to mass-produce car radios. Most still didn't have their own autos, nor did they expect to buy one with a radio in it. Those who did have access to a vehicle, many of them hams, were finding inventive ways to install a radio, but it wasn't easy. And then installing a radio receiving set, a large battery, a loudspeaker, and an equally large aerial. The contraption with its maze of wires looked awkward, but when it worked, it earned the owner some positive publicity." The propagation outlook from SWPC. Geomagnetic activity reaching moderate storm levels on September 4th. ANK indices peaking at 38 and 6, then descending but not down to 5 and 2 until September 11th. Solar flux rising from 92 on August 29th to 116 by September 3rd, then another dip, and up to a peak of 130 on September 11th. The 2,153rd World of Radio has arrived at its conclusion. I'm Glenn Hauser, he who speaks to you with a standard disclaimer. Until next week's rehearing.